Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual spot at the control panel. And we're starting things off with Kip Stender on the girls' golf. And we're going to have a full culture show today. First one this season. So let's hear all about the progress of your team there. You finally got outside.
Yeah, it was nice to get out this week. We got three events in. We started off on Monday at the Wilmer Invitational. Course wasn't totally ready, but they were, you know, willing to let us out there. No carts, kind of wet. Team-wise, the girls finished second with a 382. Alexandria won it. They're the returning AAA, I believe, state champs. They had their number one shot one under par, and so and they had a couple girls gone. So they're a really solid team. Yeah. Third place was Bold with a 383, one stroke behind us there. Dawson was fourth with a 388. Sartell, 392. Wilmer, 417. St. Cloud Crush, which I think is St. Cloud Apollo, 422. Community Christian, 459. McRae, 472. And Benson, a 540. On the day, leading the Eagles was Bella Jacobs with an 88. She finished fourth. Molly Halverson, 92, finished eighth. Caitlin Kittleson, 99, 17th. Kate Alstead, 103, finished 20th. Grace Vasek was a 105, finishing 26th. Peyton Sachs at a 108, finishing 28th. And Carly Kranz was able to go along and shot a 131. And so that was a good first event for us. That's the course that we're going to need to do well on at sections. Bold and Dawson Boyd have really good teams, so it's going to be a fun competitive section there. And so it was nice to get that round in there at Alexander in Wilmer. And then on Tuesday we hosted Tim and his crew did a nice job out at the Madison Country Club getting the course ready on short notice. Bryce and Tim and we were able to get the first conference meet in on Tuesday.
Good.
And so that was, team-wise, McRae was fourth with a 233, Community Christian third with a 225, Dawson Boyd finished second with a 208, and the Eagles, we shot a 188. On the day, Peyton Sachs shot a 57, Kate Alstead a 54, Grace Vasek a 51, Molly Halverson a 49, Caitlin Kittleson finished with a 45 and medaled for third place. And Bella Jacobs shot a 43 for the medalist. Her and Lindsay Lund tied with 43s. And the scorecard playoff, basically, the app that we use, the I Want to Make Her app, automatically figures in the slope and the toughest holes. And then based on that, it, you know, places the ties. So that was good. And like I said, hats out to Tim and Bryce for really working hard in a short time frame to get that course ready. On Thursday, we traveled to Raymond to get 18 holes in. Both McRae and CMCS used that course for their home course. And so we started with McRae hosting the first nine. The girls just continuously played the 18, but it was broken down into 2 9-hole events. And so the first round, CMCS was 242, McRae was 218, Dawson Boyd 200, and Community Christian was 200, and the Eagles shot a 182. Grace Vasek shot a 57, Kate Alstead a 56, Peyton Sachs shot a 53, Caitlin Kittleson was 48, Molly Halverson 44 for second, and Bella Jacobs won that round with a 37, a real nice over par. And then on the second nine, hosted by CMCS, McRae finished with a 212, Community Christian was a 204, Dawson Boyd was a 190, and we shaved 5 strokes off the front nine, the first nine, and shot a 177. So that was nice to see that, you know, they learn every time they play a course or a hole. Some, you know, it carries over from year to year also, but some of these girls, that was their first time there, and, you know, some of them, it's their first time varsity. So it was nice to see that improvement. on that round. Carly Cran shot a 68. Kate Alstead shot a 56. Grace Fosick shot a 47. Molly Halverson a 46. Caitlin Kittleson a 46. And Bella Jacobs was a medalist, following up her 37 with a nice 38.
Wow.
And so she together had a 75 on the day, which is really, really good. She had an eagle on a hole, got on in two and made the putt. So that was a good day for Bella. She's, you know, been working really hard and always has, but she's a senior, and she'll play at Southwest State. She's already committed, and will be playing there. So she'll have a bright future in college too.
Next week.
Next week we have Dawson Boyd conference meet on Tuesday. And then we travel to Wilmer to the Valley Golf Course. It's out by the Holiday Inn, kind of there, for mm-hmm. the Community Christian hosting there. So that's our two varsity events next week. Then they got prom on the weekend, and so it'll be a nice two event week. We got some JV meets. I'm taking a couple girls to Stony Creek on Monday.
Okay.
And but the nice thing so far, we've had six girls score now for the team, so all six girls have contributed their scores. And the years that we've had that, it just seems to really help the team, because they all know that at some point they're going to help the team, and they're going to trust that when their teammates having a bad day, they're going to have a good day, or somebody is, and make up for it. So,
okay. Well, thanks for the report. Nice to get out there, and boy, that's some pretty good scores early on. So, yeah, and keep up the good work, and we'll hear all about that next week.
Hopefully the weather keeps improving, and all the other sports get it in. But it was nice to get outside and get some golf in.
Doesn't sound real good for tomorrow, but then after that it's going to warm up a little bit.
It's a good day to take a nap tomorrow.
Kip Stender on girls golf. We'll hear about the boys golf from Barry Bessonen after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Check out the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week's scallops are $29.99 per pound. Super sharp cheddar cheese, $5.99 per pound. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lacapral Valley Boys Golf Team. And good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, you guys are in Wilmer this morning, huh? After a busy week.
Yeah, finish up a busy week. We got the second day of the Cardinal Wildcat invite over in Wilmer, so we'll be participating in that to finish out that event.
Okay. Well, you finally got on the golf course this week after many weeks of practice inside, huh?
Yeah, it's been good to get out. I mean, the weather hasn't been, we're all still waiting for it to warm up and be spring, but it's good to be out and swinging the club and competing. That we've all been looking forward to doing that, so it's great to be able to actually go out and do it now.
That's right. Well, why don't you tell us how the boys did this week? You were pretty busy. What, last Tuesday you started your first meet?
Yeah, we had our first meet on Tuesday. We hosted at Madison. It was a little cool, but not a bad day weather-wise. Sun was out. And we ended up third out of seven teams that day with a 182. Community Christian was first, 171. Dawson Boyd 178, then us, followed by Central Minnesota Christian, Arnonville County West, Ordinville, and then McCray rounded out the 17 field. We were, in a home course and first time out, and it was not too bad for the first time out.
Right.
Individually, we were led by Carson Bessonen, who was medalist for the event, shot even par 35 to get his season started. So he was the winner of the event. Then we went Gavin Carl with a 46, Caden Stenner with a 47, and JT Elstead with a 54. We only had four guys playing that day, so everyone's score had to count for that event, which put us in third place. So, you'd like to be able to defend your home course, but all in all, not a bad start. We got a lot of unknowns and some inexperience, so
right.
That's going to, those things will improve.
Okay. I believe that was the first event at the Madison Golf Course this year, right?
Yeah, that was the first event at the course this year.
You had the kid, you have to help get it ready and pick up branches and stuff like that?
They actually had a lot of that taken care of already before we before we got there. A lot of it was just getting a couple parts on the course to dry out, and they did, so...
Okay.
So we were able to play. The course is in pretty good shape. Came through the winter pretty well. The greens are in good shape. And, as we big thing like anything, all that place needs, as everyone else does, is a little sun and some warmth, and, things are really going to take off.
Okay, good. All right. Anything more on Madison? Why don't you just explain to our listeners a little bit how golf is played in the Camden Conference?
We're divided north and south, much like some other sports, similar teams in the same division, such as for basketball and some of those others. We have six meets that count towards the conference, six nine-hole meets. Each school hosts one. This year on the north with Ortonville coming in, it's 7 and 6, so we had to do a little juggling to make sure we got six counting ones. Next year, that'll go back to 6 and 6 with RTR leaving the conference. I think Granville County West is moving south. So we play the six meets. Get points for the team score based on your ranking, and then that goes towards the conference championship team. Individuals, they got to play at least four of the meets. They can count 4 or 6 towards all conference possibilities. Then we have a conference tournament to culminate everything in Marshall here in a couple of weeks that will wrap up. We determine the team champion, determine the all conference team and all that through that, the addition of that conference tournament to the regular season standings. So we were the first ones to host this year
and
we got a few more to go.
All right. Well, that was Tuesday, and then you got right back at it, I understand, huh?
Yeah, Thursday we went over to Raymond, and they had opened the course that day for us, too. So played in a little drizzle all day. We played 18 holes, actually. We played the McCray meet, and then we decided, because there were two meets at Raymond, that we were just going to play one, kind of get everyone some experience and have some fun. And that was Central's meet, but that one's not going to count towards the conference standings. So in the conference meet, the McCray meet, we took second. We were defeated by one shot by Community Christian, 175 to 176. Dawson Boyd was third at 183, followed by Renville County West, Central Minnesota Christian, Ortonville, and McCray. The temperature wasn't bad to start with. Not a lot of wind, but light rain the whole time. Carson Bessonen led us. He was medalist again for the tournament, shot 36. Even par, two birdies, two bogeys. Matt Arndt's first varsity meet shot 46. Caden Stender also shot 46. Grant Bierke, eighth grader, and his first varsity meet shot 48. And then JT Alstead had a 57 to round out our score, round out our team there. So taking those top four, we were defeated by one shot. So a lot of counting to see where they could have picked up a couple shots, but still. Made some progress, and again, had a couple first-timers playing there, too. So, they're going to continue to get better as well. And then we went and we played a second nine, which was kind of called the Blue Jay Invite. you know, gave awards and that sort of thing, but it didn't count in the conference standings. We won that one with a 178-2 over Ortonville. Central Minnesota Christian was third with 183, followed by Community Christian, Dawson Boyd. Central Minnesota Christian, Community Christian, Dawson Boyd went 183, 184, 185. McRae and then Renville County West rounded out the field for that one.
Okay.
Again, individually, Carson Bessenden again was a medalist. Shot another 36, same as the first round, two birdies, two bogeys. So for the day in you know, tough conditions, he was even par 72, which was pretty good golf.
Wow, but, that's impressive. What grade's Carson in this year?
He's a sophomore.
Okay. And yeah. Carson really had a successful season last year. He placed in state, didn't he? Or?
Yeah, well, he was top 25.
Top 25, yep. Yeah. Awesome.
So he got off to a good start. A long day. It was about 6 hours to play the two rounds, so it was a long day. But Caden Stender had a 42, career best for him. Matthew Arndt had a 50. Grant Bierke had a 50. JT Elston had a 57 to round out our scoring there for the Blue Jay invite. But it was nice to get a win there. You know, guys are feeling good about getting that first place finish. And,
yep. Good.
Okay.
Well, Friday you went where? New London.
Friday we were in New London at the first day of the Cardinal Wildcat invite at Little Crow Country Club. Tough conditions, cool, a lot of wind and out there, and that's probably the hardest course we see, you know, at least during the regular season by far. Tough greens, got some length, wide open, and you know, strong field because it's everything from 3A schools to 2A schools to 1A schools. There are 18 teams this year, so they're like 115 kids playing. So a big field. We finished after the first day, we finished in 13th place out of 18 teams with a 370, you know, not our best team score, but we had some kids that played well in the conditions. The leader, St. Cloud Cathedral, followed by Wilmer, Brainerd, Sartell, Lakeville South, Moorhead, New London, Spicer, Cambridge, Isani, Hutchinson, Minnewaska, Litchfield, Becker, then us. We the teams we've defeated today: Community Christian, Montevideo, Bold, Dawson Boyd, and Renville County West.
Wow, a lot of teams.
A lot of teams and a lot of diversity there. When you're talking about, you know, Lakeville South out of the metro, you have Moorhead that came down, Brainerd came down from where they're at. You know, Cambridge, Isani, you know, Sartell, Cathedral. You have a lot of bigger schools. You know, it's quite a diverse field. You know, good experience. You know, again, conditions were tough. Wind was strong. You know, it was cold. Guys were fighting to stay warm. Individually for us, you know, Caden Stender came through. Career low, shot 86. You know, hit the ball solidly and well. Carson Bessenden shot 88. And he said between not being able to control some shots and not great putting and some mental mistakes kind of got him. But, part of the game. Grant Bierke with a career low in his second event. He shot 95. Great job for Grant as an eighth grader. JT Alstead, you know, really played, you know, improved golf from the day before. Shot 101. And then Gavin Carl had a tough going there at 124. He finished strong, just had a really, really rough start. That's the first day. We go back to Wilmer then, and we'll play. And Matt Arndt will be playing that day as well. So we'll have, you know, the full six-man team, I think, for the first time this year, and we'll see how that goes. But you were encouraged by the results. And then knowing what we're in, you know, New London is a tough course. It's very wet. They had some rain the night before, and it was pretty soggy in a lot of places. But it's good to see Wilmer the section course and see what we can do.
All right, and that's today. And then what's next week for you?
Next week, Tuesday, we have a conference, Camden Conference meet at Dawson, 4:30 start. Thursday, we have another Camden Conference meet. We go to Wilmer to Valley Golf Course, Community Christian hosts. Again, a 4:30 start. And then Friday, we go back to New London for the New London Spicer invite. See a few, a few of the same teams, a few of the different teams, not as many of the big schools. It's a little more of a field that's 2A and 1A schools. So we'll see, see some other section teams, which will be good. So we'll go back there next Friday.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck today in Wilmer, Barry, and good luck next week. And we'll talk to you next Saturday on the Coach's Show.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. That's head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lacapra Valley Boys golf team. And we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
The time at 4 minutes past nine.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Okay, welcome back to the Coaches Show. We've already put in a half an hour, talked to both golf coaches, and now we're going to get the other five coaches or other five sports, and starting off with both boys and girls track with John Sherb.
Morning. Yeah, we got meet on Thursday. We were over at Granite. It was a rescheduled one from the week before, so it was good to get that in. It wasn't the greatest of days of Thursday. It spit and rained pretty much off and on all turn track meet over there, where we ended up, they started the long jump, and they canceled the long jump just because of the slipping. Kids were starting to slip a little bit, and they had questions. Don't take any chance with the kids on that part. You don't want to have someone have an injury now. They're out for 2-3 weeks because they slipped an ankle or whatever else. So some kids got jumps in, some kids didn't get in. But overall was good. And like I said, it was just a little bit of some wind and some moisture out there. And we had to kind of rearrange the schedule because we had to, the dance was having their recital practice on Thursday, and it also had a bunch of girls would be going for that, so we had to balance relay teams, flip-flop a lot of kids, so we moved a lot of kids around, just try to get races in early, but then we had holes in some events later, but that's just the way it goes. It was just good to get marks in. It was also good seeing the kids actually try events that they wasn't their strongest suit in. So on the girls' side, in the 100-meter dash, Bailey Bothan was our top runner. She was sixth at a time of 14.34. Peyton Moe was ninth at 14.43. And Maya Conroy, who we moved her into there to see how she could like that, she was ninth also at 14.43. And then Sadie Hacker was 11th at 16.46. 200-meter dash, Maya Conroy was fifth with a time of 29.15. Bailey Bothan was ninth at 29.94, and Sadie Hacker was 11th at 30.52. 400-meter dash, Addie Tufto wasn't happy with where I threw her in for events because I knew she had to leave, so she did the 4x2, which is normal. We threw in the 4x1, which she's never done before that I know of as long as I've been around her. Then right after the 4x1's done, she jumps in the open 400. One is a conditioning also to kind of keep her moving because we need to keep challenge a little bit more. And it was a good mental challenge for her, and that's kind of where we're kind of building off that. But she was third in the 400-meter dash. She was 108.03. Daytona Bissett was eighth at 112.17, and Paisley Martinson was 10th at 114 with and then we had an Olsen girl was right behind her. So that was good to kind of move some new ones in there to kind of get them a little bit of a feel on where they were at with it. So just moving kids. Then Taylor Wood, she won the 800, 238.33. She did a tough double, which she's never done before. Also, we moved her around a little bit. So it was kind of nice to have it because right before it, she ran the mile. She ran the mile first, and she finished third. I think that's her first time she's ran the mile in 2 years now on the track. So she did a mile 800 double, and so that was good to see work on her strength and work on her conditioning. She was third in the mile at 6:25.16. Brooklyn Serrard was seventh at 6:34, and then Reese Oxnorf was eighth at 6:35. 100-meter hurdles, Calista Borman won the 100-meter hurdles at 18:42. And then Ayanna Hasta was fifth at 18.74. And then Cameron Olson, actually was Cameron's sister, actually got in there. She was ended up being 10th in the hurdles also. 300 hurdles, we ended up, Ella Stock was 11th in the 300 hurdles at 105.48. And then Andy Doctor was 12th in there. 4x1, we kind of threw that one together, just changed it because we needed to move some kids with that because with Peyton having to take off. So Sadie Hacker filled in the lead spot and looked very, very comfortable in that lead spot. So we put her in the lead, and then we put Addie Tufto in the three slot. And they looked very, very good in that one. That was Sadie Hacker to Hannah Gochee to Addie Tufto out of Hasted. They finished third with a time 56.70. For the handoffs, weren't the greatest, but they weren't. I've seen a lot worse handoffs, and I thought we still at least kept the stick moving, but it was just real off on some of the spots. 4x2, they ended up winning the 4x2. We changed that and put Peyton in the leadoff spot. Peyton Mole was lead, then Addie Tufto, Bailey Bothan, and Maya Conroy, and they ran a time of 155.69. That is a season best for us this year in there. We did not run a 4x4. It's one of those scary moments. We didn't have enough. I had three girls who run a 4x4, but we didn't have the four, so it's like, we're just going to scratch it out and go with it, and that's what we did. Usually we have enough girls around. That's just how thinned down we were by the time we got to the end of the meet. 4x8, they ran their season best. Also, they finished third, 11.16.49. That was Chloe Gugge, Annika Fernos, Micaiah Poost, and Paisley Martinson. Shot put, Haley Anderson has come on very, very nicely for us. New girl this year out for it, and she ended up getting second in the shot. She went 31 feet 6 inches. Paige Meyer was third at 29 feet 11 inches. Isabel Long-Henry was fifth, 28 9 inches. So, again, good to see where they're coming on and moving with it, and that's what we're trying to build as we go. Discus, Paige Meyer was second, 85 feet 2 inches. Isabel Long-Henry was 14th at 62, and then Haley Anderson was 15th at 61.9. High jump, Ayanna Hasta was 4th, 4 feet 6 inches. Calista Borman was in 6th at 4 feet 4 inches. And then the long jump, Calista Borman was our top long jumper in there. For what they got in, she was able to get one in. I don't think she got a second one in, but it's just what you're trying to get in, what you got for conditions. And so she got 10th with a 12 feet 2. We'll get more as we go on in the season with that. In the triple jump, Calista was 3rd in the triple, 28 feet 11 inches. And then Reese McCoy was 5th in the triple, 27 feet 3 and 3 quarter inches. Scoring on the girls, we ended up getting 3rd. Again, with kind of the helter-skelter we went through, trying to get everybody into and going, that's the way it goes. We were 3rd. We were... let's see, if I remember right, it was Bold winning it, and then McCray was 2nd, we were 3rd. I think we were probably, 35 points out of 1st, so we get everybody back, we get full string, we'll be able to make a little few changes. Can you get 35 points back? Who knows, again, but at least we know what we can find when we move kids around. Boys, boys are continuing to grow. Grayson Boyke was gone, so that kind of hurts us on team scoring, and we have, because he's has his 4 events that he can pretty much, dominated, do very, very well for us, but he was gone on to a basketball tournament, so he was out. But we built around that, which was kind of nice to see some of the other kids go into the spots. Garrett Kosted was 5th in the 100-meter dash. The guy is just amazing, as big as he is and the way he can move to finish 5th, and he looked very, very sharp and explosive. He was in the fast heat, and big man can run, and that's good to see him. He was 5th overall, 12.43. Damian Torres was 11th at 13.03, and then Noah Meyer was 17th at 13.58. 200-meter dash, Damian Torres was our top runner there. He was 13th at 27.12. Tanner Callis was 9th, 17th at 27.87, and then Gabe Lowry was 18th at 28.07. 800-meter run, we finally got the Perkins twins back. They were down with the robotics team that was competing down in Houston, down at the National, which was just had to talk a little bit. They're just a great experience for those guys to get that opportunity. So we got them back, and then Justin was 6th in the 800 at 222.69. Jordan Perkins was 10th at 236. Gavin Carl was 2nd. He got a kid from Wilmer, got the race out, and then he took the lead and pushed to tempo, and he ran near his season best. He got beat at the end, and I told him, I said, that's part of racing, is you learn how to run, but also learn how to run fast. You don't want to lose, but you also want to run fast as best you can. And like I said, the other kid pushed him. It was a great race for both of them, and they build off each other, and that's what you look to see. So he ended up finishing 2nd with a time of 457.98, and that's – I don't remember what his season best from last year is, but I believe that's probably darn close if it isn't his personal best. So that was good to see him to break that 5-minute barrier. And, you know, we can see if we can knock some more off that.
Yeah.
Then he did the, as I always call, because I did, you know, long time ago in the dark ages when the wheel was still round but may have been stone, but I did that mile 2 mile double, and he did the first time he's done the mile 2 mile double. Ooh. And so, and that's a very good challenge, that one. He looked very, very good in that, and he ended up winning it near his season best also in that too. So that's a good idea where he's at. He went 11:09 to win it, and that was, like I said, was just, it was good to kind of see where he was at, give him a new challenge in it, and he'll get a build off that. 110 hurdles, James Weber continues to really, you know, fine-tune and get him, you know. The, his biggest weakness, he's not 6 foot. Most of the hurdlers he's running against are pretty tall, and he's a short guy, but God, he's got wheels in between those hurdles and does a really nice job of that. 16.64 he ran the 110s in. Ethan Herson was third. He went 18.60. 300 hurdles, James looked very good, 42.76. Now you're starting to put yourself in that upper echelon when you start getting that 42, 41s. That's when you're going to start having everybody looking at you a little bit more often. So he's building onto that. He won that. And then Ethan Herson was fourth at 46.74. And then Joseph Felton, we got him back. He was also with robotics. He was 13th at 54 flat. 4x1 looked very, very good through three. Unfortunately, our fourth, Garrett got a little bit of aggressive. I think he was pumped where we were at and kind of took off just a fraction early. And then Tanner was just coming off, and just the communication, that's what I told the guys. You've got to communicate. And Garrett got to the end of the zone and tried slowing down. But when you're a big man like him, it's tough to drop the brakes and stay within the zone. Unfortunately, we were out by about 2 feet. But that's the learning process. And as we go with as rebuilt are in that 4x1, that's just the way it is. 4x2, they ended up finishing fifth. That was Ethan Hersham. To Eli Hagelin, to Keegan Wick, to Tanner Callis, and that was at, like I said, that was 144.54. 4x4, again, rebuilt that one just to kind of throw who we had left for bodies around. That was James Weber, to Keegan Wick, to Jordan Perkins, to Justin Perkins. They ended up finishing third. Really, really nice to see them get into a race. I know Justin got into a fight there for that fourth and third spot, and I thought he really, really pushed it down and had enough at the end to beat the kid to get into third for us. And they went 357.27. And 4x8, we did not run a team. Shot put, Garrett was third in the shot put, 35 feet, 11 and a half. So again, and then Gabe Lowry was 21st at 24.11, and then Noah Meyer was 22nd at 24.10. Discus, we did not have anybody in the discus. But hopefully that will be changing in a little bit here. We'll get a couple guys more confidence in it. High jump, Eli Hagelin was second in the high jump, 5 feet, 8 inches.
Good.
So that's, again, he's continuing. We've just got to get a little bit more oomph. He's not quite got that quickness down the line to get up in there. Long jump, again, Eli didn't get it. I threatened Eli with a chance. If anybody goes down for the 4x4, he does have an open event because he never did our approach. He was kind of going ooh and ah, not sure about this one. And I was like, well, you be ready. And then luckily the other four were good, but he would have been our first alternate on it. Triple jump, Eli was second in the triple, 37 feet, 5.5 inches. Ethan Hersham was fourth at 35 feet and 3/4. And then Keegan Wick was fifth and 34.11. So overall, I was very pleased with the kids. Boys were third also. McCray won it. We were 38 points out of first, but you don't have Boyk there. That's a lot of points you're throwing away without Boyk. You know, could he get us 40 points? Yeah, but there's a lot of points you're throwing on the table. But
yeah,
we're just building and growing, and that's the way we look at it. Yeah, we want to win as many as we can and get better, but we're just trying to get better as an individual, as a team. So it was a really good performance for the kids with the conditions.
Good, good. Next week.
Next week's going to be kind of a helter-skelter week. Tuesday, we're in Monty. Thursday, we're in Granite. We're going to try to get hoping to get two kids into Howard Wood Relays, which is in Sioux Falls next weekend. I don't know what we get in for marks. Our problem is we don't have a lot of meets in, and so our numbers will be down. So we're going to see what we've got, but that may be an opportunity. So some kids that get into Howard Wood won't compete on Thursday, so we're back to that shuffling again. But why is life easy? Just kind of go with the flow, and what you get, you go.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, it's nice to get the events in, weather permitting, of course, and it wasn't ideal, but it's the same way for everybody.
Yeah, it is, and I really enjoy the kids. The kids are... they're not having issues on it. They're preparing themselves. And young and old, it's nice to see these older seniors really just saying, hey, let's go with this, let's do this, and just taking them along. It's working well.
Very good. Thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next week.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track, and Darby Biergon is in the studio. We'll be talking baseball next.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Check out the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, scallops are $29.99 per pound. Super sharp cheddar cheese, $5.99 per pound. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Back here, and we'll be talking baseball momentarily, but yesterday at Granite Falls, Bart and I were the last ones from Lacaparo out of the stadium. There was about 10 people from Granite Falls there still talking, you know, mingling after the game, but Bart noticed that there was a looked like a equipment bag or something on the bleachers where the Granite Falls people said that that's where the Lacaparo fans were sitting, and so he went over and it looked like a
duffel bag
or what do they put on their backs.
Bat bag.
Whatever.
Yep.
But it turned out it was a diaper bag. So a bunch of diapers and wipes and things like that. So if there's somebody from Lacaparo that saw somebody changing diapers or whatever, we gave it to the Granite Falls people and they put it in the concession stand. So you could call the YME school and tell them the situation, they'll send somebody down there and pick it up so that they won't be running short on diapers. So.
And you're positive it's not yours or Bart's?
No, the okay. wrong okay. size for
okay.
us.
Okay.
So wanted to relay that. So two games, Darby.
Yeah, yep, two games this week. First, we started McRae Tuesday, two road games. So anytime you go on the road, you know, it's just different and stuff like that. You don't get as many cuts and warm-ups and stuff like that. You're rushed at times and stuff. So we went down to McRae on Tuesday, and we ended up coming back with a 13-5 win. So McRae was a state tournament team last year. They lost some guys just like we lost some guys. So we didn't know what to expect from either team, I guess, really. And a 13-5 win, we were pretty excited about that. So we scored out in the first right away. Dylan Kymig got on, and then he scored on a sack fly by Caden Mortensen, and we held McRae scoreless till the third. We put another run up in the third. Geyser had a single and scored on and worked his way around the bases, whether it's steals or pass balls and stuff like that. And Caden Mortensen had a second RBI in the game already in the third inning. So each time he came up, he had two RBI in each spot, and that's always huge for our number four hitter to be able to knock those runs in once we get on base. So, and then we had a big fourth inning. We'd scored five in the fourth. Cale Benson started off with a walk. Tygan Allpress missed the bunt sign, but ended up getting a single, which helped out, which is better than the bunt. And Kymig had an RBI single. And then Dylan Geiser had an RBI single, but then probably the most exciting part of that inning for me anyways was Dylan and Molden, Caden Molden made his, I think Molden was on by a single, and they both were on second and third, and then there was a pass ball, and Geiser scored right away, but Molden did not stop from second to third. He went all the way from second to home, scoring on a pass ball. So we've talked about being aggressive, how aggressive this team is on the bases and stuff like that, and that's just a perfect example of heads-up baseball and recognizing that he was going to be able to beat the pitcher and catcher to home on a pass ball. That wasn't very far away from home plate because McCray's got a Raymond's got kind of a short backstop. Yep. So great hustle play and being aggressive by Molden. And I don't even think the play was close, if I remember right. I remember he slid, but I don't think it was even a question if it was a close call or not. So great hustle by Caden Molden and heads-up baseball. Mort had another RBI on a hit-by-pitch that time. So without getting hit, we had bases loaded, and he brought in another run by getting hit-by-pitch. Like I said, McCray put up three in the third. We put up one in the third, and then in the fourth, we put up five runs, and in the fifth, we put up three more runs. And that started with Brock Bjerneld's double, and he scored on Dylan Kymig's double. So two doubles in the same inning was huge. The inning before, I think we had three singles, so the guys are putting the ball in play and barreling up the ball pretty good right now. Kymig scored on Dylan Geiser's RBI single. And then he later scored. He had a stolen base once he reached, and then scored on another pass ball. So McCray put two more up in the sixth, and we came back to the seventh, and we put another three up. So we just kept rounding the bases and putting some numbers on the board, which is great. Geiser started off with a walk. Caden Mortensen had a single. Ethan Schomer had a hard hit RBI to right field. He just, you know, he's been working on waiting on the ball, letting the ball travel, and he tagged that ball really hard. Peyton Rademacher then had a nice hit to short. It was kind of in the hole, which ended up being an RBI single. And Tygan Allpress got his first RBI in the year on a base on ball by a bases loaded walk. So ended that game 13-5. Batting, Dylan Kymig was 2-for-5 with three runs, so your leadoff hitter, yep. Scoring three runs is huge anyway on base, whether it's walks or hits or whatever. You can't ask for that more, putting three runs up on the board, and he had two RBIs also, so he's really contributing to scoring and hitting guys in when it's needed. Dylan Geiser's just been swinging a hot stick right now. He was 3-for-3 with four runs and two RBIs. Caden Mortensen was 2-for-2 with a run and three RBIs. He had a big night. Ethan Schomer was 1-for-4 with a run and an RBI. Peyton Rademacher was 1-for-5 with an RBI. Brock Bjerneld had that double. He was 1-for-2. And Tygan Allpress was 1-for-4 with one run and an RBI. We started Caden Mortensen on the mound. He threw 3 1/3. He had three strikeouts, three walks, five hits, three runs, and three of them were earned. He kind of was the tough luck. He didn't get the loss, but he didn't get the win, because you have to go four innings in seven high school innings to get the win. He probably could stay out there more, but we just had some mental errors in the outfield that weren't errors in the book, but they should have been outs. So he could have probably held in there for a few more pitches, but his pitch count was getting a little bit high, so we had to pull him and stuff like that just to keep these arms fresh still. Brock Bjerneld then came in. He threw 2 2/3. He got the win. He had two strikeouts, two walks, no hits, two runs, and none of those were earned. And then Dylan Geiser got back on the mound after his knee injury, which was fun to see. He's been antsy to get back on the mound. He got all cleared to do all baseball activities now. And he went one inning. He had three strikeouts, one walk, one hit, no runs, and no errors. Good. So good. That was fun, and the guys were excited. I mean, putting up 13 runs is a fun thing to do, and going in on the road and getting a win is always exciting,
sure.
too. So.
Sure.
And then last night we traveled to Wyoming, and Wyoming is probably one of the better teams in the conference, in my opinion. I thought that they would have a chance to probably win the conference, you know, compete against RTR and a few other teams and stuff like that, because they've had this senior class now. They've been playing for 3 years together, and they're just a solid ball team and well coached. So we went down there and ended up losing 7-4. So little bit of a moral victory, but as I like to say, I'm not a moral victory guy. A loss is a loss, but still, we played them well. We were right in it. I think, you know, any given day, that's a 50-50 ball game. We could beat them, they could beat us and stuff like that. So I was really happy how the guys kept coming back after we would get down and stuff like that. we scored right away in the top of the first again, which has been doing. We've been kind of scoring right away and putting a little pressure on here these last couple games. Kaimig was hit by a pitch and moved up to second on a hit and run with Geiser, which we'll talk about. There was another situation that it looked like hit and runs, but we just had the straight steal on, and then Dylan just hit in behind the guy that was stealing, so it worked out like a hit and run. Mm-hmm. Then some walks and stuff came around, and Kaimig ended up scoring on Brock Bjerneld's RBI by a bases-loaded walk again, so we'll take those runs batted in any way we can get them. We were scoreless until the fifth, and then Cale Benson started off with a walk. Tygan Allpress bunted him over to second. And then Geiser was hit by a pitch, which was kind of weird because it hit the ground first, and then it hit him, but that's still a hit by pitch as long as he's not swinging. So, and then Molden had an RBI single to bring in Cale Benson on that one. Caden Mortensen then had an RBI to bring in Dylan Geiser, so we put up two in the fifth. We came back in the sixth. Cale Benson had a single, and then he scored on so he reached to second on... I don't remember how he reached the second, but he was on second, and I talked to Cale. There was a timeout pitching change. I said, Cale, with the pitcher now, if you notice, he's looking at you one time and he's stealing home. So if I do something, I'm not going to tell you what I did, but if I do something, I want you to steal once he looks home. And we did that, and Cale caught it, and as soon as he looked home, Cale took off for third, and stealing third down a couple runs isn't always the greatest idea, but I felt like we could get it. And as soon as Cale took off, Dylan hit right in behind him as a shortstop left to cover back behind third base, and it was another hit and run situation that wasn't really a hit and run. It was executed perfectly by both guys, and Cale ended up scoring on that. So that was our last run in the sixth. So 7-4, Wyoming's a good hitting team. They're well coached and stuff like that. If we can limit our errors and our walks, I think we might have a shot of beating those guys. A few questionable calls, of course, but, you know, umpires are human too, and I know who they are. They're good guys, and sometimes you just have bad days. So we just move on, and we learn from that, and we grow from that. And, yeah, so the guys know it, and we know it, that we show up again, we could beat those guys, you know, so that just gives us confidence going in that we are hanging with one of the better teams in the conference.
You could see them later on in the season, and you would feel very confident to play them.
Right on.
Yeah.
So offensively in that game, Geiser was 2-for-2 with a run and an RBI. Molden was 1-for-4 with an RBI. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Brock Bjerneld was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Cale Benson was 1-for-2 with two runs scored, and Kaimig had a run scored. We started Dylan Geiser on the mound. He went 3 1/3. He had 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, 3 hits, 3 earned, and 2 of those were, I'm sorry, 3 runs and 2 of those were earned. Dylan Kaimig came in. He threw a third of an inning. He had 3 walks, 3 runs, and 3 earned. That's probably where Dylan was hitting that outside corner, but I couldn't see from my perspective. But, you know, hard luck call. You know, if you start out a guy 1-0, that's quite different than starting him out 0-1. And it could have been that questionable call in the line and stuff like that. So we'll get Dylan back up. And that's kind of the bad part about this spring right now is all these guys that Dylan hasn't pitched since that first game, really, other than playing catch. And that, a lot of our guys are like that. And if you don't see the mound a lot, it's tough to get in the swing of things. And if we're practicing inside, you know, it's tough to simulate that outdoor practice yet. So once we get better weather and these guys get on the mound more often, I'm not worried about us throwing strikes and stuff like that. So that'll come around. Brock Bjerneld came in again. He threw 2 innings, 2 strikeouts, 3 walks, 2 hits, 1 run, and 1 earned run. So ended up 1-1 on 2 road games. And, of course, we want to go 2-0, but anytime we can split during the week on 2 road games, I guess we'll take it.
Yeah. Just watching the game for both Bart and I, we thought on both teams, the pitchers threw a lot of pitches. And there was hit batsmen, there were walks, there were a lot of strikeouts on both sides, too. And the umpire was really particular on outside pitches. They looked. Well, from our vantage point, too, but at the knees, outside, pretty close to being right on the black, but they were not called, and it was consistent pretty much.
Right, and that makes it difficult as a hitter, too. As I'm looking in the book, we had quite a few looking strikeouts, which, you know, if it's not being called as a strike earlier in the count, you feel like you shouldn't have to swing at it, but we preach about right. If you have 2 strikes to protect anything, and right. Now that same pitch might be called a strike later in the bat, and it's a little frustrating for the batters.
It is, but yep. once again, it was a fun game. And a nice crowd on both.
Yeah, wonderful
both
crowd. Yep.
Good. Yes.
Yep. Good ball game.
On
real
a chilly night.
Yes. Yep. So. Correct.
So next week.
Yes. Next week, Tuesday, we have Dawson at home. And then on Thursday, we have Lakeview at home. So okay. Two Camden Conference matchups, and there'll be two big matchups again.
Now, unfortunately, the JV has not played hardly at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the JV played at McRae. They got a win there. And then they lost last night to Wyoming. So they did have two games this week, too. Yeah, they were up on the hill. So, yes, they got two games in this week also, and they split also.
And junior high?
Junior high played last night. I'm not sure how they turned out, and I think they had a game Monday or Tuesday, and I don't remember, was at Montevideo, I believe, and I think Monty came out on top of that.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
so
all the teams in action, that's good.
Yes, yes. So. If you don't mind, Dick, I do have to give a shout-out for those. I had a really busy week personally this week, and I just want to thank some people out there. My wife was in Atlanta on a business trip, so I got to thank my mom and dad for coming in and covering my helping out with the kids, the neighbors, Josh and Chris and Ludvigson for getting the kids to school. That was really helpful. And then I've got a real unique situation at school. So when I have to leave school early, it's tough for subs to come in and teach math. But I have a high school senior, Caitlin Whitnable, that wants to be a math teacher. And she's been volunteering to come in and teach when I can't make it. And it has been wonderful, and I can't thank her enough for coming in to help out. So I appreciate all that.
And she also sings the national anthem at a home game. So
yes,
that's quite a treat as well.
Jack of all trades.
That's right. Okay, that's Darby Biergun on baseball. We'll take this break and be talking softball with Scott Swatsky after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap. It's a new all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, April 28th through Monday, May 1st in Theater 1. It's John Wick 4 rated R. That's John Wick 4 rated R in Theater 1. Held over in theater number 2, Super Mario Brothers movie, rated PG. That's the Super Mario Brothers movie in theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach Show. This is Paul Ramo, and on the phone with us is head coach Scott Swatsky of the Lac Parle Valley girls softball team. And Scott, you got a number of games in this week.
Yeah, it was a really big week, Paul. You know, new this year, we play the southern teams of the conference just in one seven-inning game. A lot of people have inquired about that. Why not double headers like we used to do? And the reason behind that is it allows us an opportunity to see some non-conference and section teams that we'd like to see before tournament time. So this week was three southern Camden Conference teams. We started off on Tuesday with Yellow Medicine East. They're a young team. I was pretty impressed with their athleticism. I thought when they were taking pregame, I was like, geez, this is an improved team. They've got a freshman pitcher that came out and really did a pretty nice job. But eventually our bats were able to catch up in the second inning. We scored 5 runs and kind of broke things open, gave us a little bit of a cushion. Had some quality hitting, especially Riley Lund was 1-for-3 with 2 runs and an RBI. She also walked once. Kendall Shellstead, who has just been tearing the cover off the ball, was 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Ayanna Gibson had a hit, scored a run and had an RBI as well, and she also walked, so she's getting on base. Brandy Meyer was 2-for-3, 2 runs and an RBI. And then Jalen Lee was 1-for-2. And this game, we ended up winning 10-0 in 6 innings. We scored a couple or a run in the third and the fourth inning, respectively. And then was sitting at 7-0, and we were just kind of going to work. And in the bottom of the sixth, we were able to open it up, get some runners on base. We had Cameron Lee up to the plate, and she didn't get an official at bat because just funky things happened where there were some walks and pass balls, et cetera, that got us to that 10-run mark, and so that game was over. But Taylor Shellstead remained with her just in the circle, just being dominant. She threw a no-hitter. Just really hitting spots, mixing speeds well, and just her defense is doing a super job behind her, too, making plays and whatnot. So pretty exciting to get the no-no with a pitcher anytime. That's not an easy thing to do. So then on Thursday we traveled to TMB, and Carl always does a nice job with them. They've always got athletic girls. I think they lost a lot of kids last year, but it's a long trip. Again, a 7-inning game, and we were pretty dominant in this game. They did have some hits. They got a pretty decent lineup. She did give up 8 hits, but we had 14 hits and scored 15 runs. So in 6 innings, we ended up 10 running them, 15-1, and some pretty salty hitting going on there. Taylor was 2-for-3 with 3 runs, an RBI, and a walk, so just constantly on base. And when we get her on base, good things happen. Riley Lund, I think for her and Kendall in particular, I think the softball looks like a watermelon right now. I mean, they are just seeing it, and their hands are so quick that it's fun to watch. But and I got to throw Jalen Lee in that mix too. But Riley Lund was 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Kendall was 3-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Ayanna Gibson was 1-for-5. Brandy Meyer 1-for-4 with a couple runs. Claire Borstead 1-for-3 with a couple runs, couple RBIs. Maddie Matthews was 1-for-4 with 3 RBIs, and she scored 2 runs, so had a very impactful plate appearances for Maddie. And Maddie's swinging the bat well, too, gaining confidence every plate appearance she gets. So she's such a hard worker. Then Jalen Lee, and after last night's game, we as coaches, we met up and we're chatting. And it's so funny because we've got Jalen sitting down at this 9 spot, and I think a lot of times people think that that's a weak hitter, and I told you this last week too, but she was 3-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs, and Jalen is not a weak hitter. She's just a good base runner, and we really like having her on base in front of Taylor and Riley and the top part of our order, and it's really working out magically for us. So, again, final score 15-1 in 6 innings. Lacaparo has 14 hits, and TMB has 8 hits. So, another quality win. We got away with Taylor not having to throw too many pitches and trying to keep her as fresh as possible. And then we headed into last night's game at Tyler playing RTR, and they've got a outstanding pitcher. She's been their starting pitcher since 9th grade, an outstanding catcher, and this Alderson girl. I mean, she throws hard and has a little rise ball, which is new to our girls to some degree, at least our newcomers. Our veterans have seen it, but just a lockdown battle. And I expected it to be that way of two of the top teams in the conference. I'm just so proud of our kids. Our captains are leading, they're setting the tone. Our upperclassmen are just getting things done. And our underclassmen are following / taking on leadership roles and just being significant contributors, and that doesn't always happen with girls that are new to the that level of play, but it is impressive. So we locked horns with RTR. First 3 innings it was 0-0. Just tensions were high. Both teams would get some opportunities to get some runners in on base and whatnot, and all of a sudden in the 4th inning, Lacaparo was able to break some things open, and we ended up scoring 2 runs, and that is what we needed to do to win the game. Taylor was outstanding. Her defense behind her was outstanding. Just some big plays that happened that could have changed the game. Like in the first inning, they got a runner on right away with nobody out. They tried to bunt her over, and the batter popped up the ball. Ayanna Gibson, great heads-up play, turns around, makes an outstanding catch. Their runner on first base takes off to second without tagging, and so we double her up at first base and take away any potential issues. And we had a couple of those situations where our girls, just all the repetitions of situations and different things that we do, when the situation arises, they have really executed well. So kind of our stat line for this game is Riley Lund was 1 for 4, and she was close to being 3 for 4. I mean, she was all over things. And again, seeing things like a watermelon. Mm-hmm. Kendall Shellstead was definitely a key for us. I mean, she was 3 for 3, and it was kind of a fun matchup, power on power, because I've said this before, but there's a different sound off of Kendall's bat than most girls, and she got intentionally walked once, so she's definitely, as a sophomore, earned some respect from the opposing teams, and I know that RTR was not liking to see her at the plate. But she had one of our RBIs. Ayanna Gibson was 1 for 4, just continues to step up and do an outstanding job. And then Claire Borstead had a big hit there too, in that fourth inning where she got our second RBI, and Claire was 1 for 3. And that was our hitting. We ended up with 6 hits off an outstanding pitcher. I loved our plate appearances. I thought our girls went up, they were aggressive, they took some aggressive swings. It just doesn't always equate to the stat line. And then RTR only had 5 hits off of Taylor. It's kind of a fun comparison when you look at probably two front runners for a conference MVP. Taylor Shellstead had 10 strikeouts with 1 walk, and Kaya Alderson from RTR had 11 strikeouts with 2 walks. So similar stat lines. Taylor won that battle though, and a strikeout ratio of 10-1, that takes a lot of pressure off your defense, and I just thought she did an outstanding job. So we ended this week at 3-0 against some outstanding teams and some quality wins.
All right, real good. Big win last night for you there, Scott.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, that's we look to with how we're playing right now, and ball is ball, and funny things can happen. But I see us as a front runner for getting deep into the sections again. And kind of our motto this year is unfinished. Like, there's some unfinished business to take care of, and the girls came up with that, and they're holding true to it. So we're excited about the level of competition we're going to get to see down the road here in a couple weeks. We get to see a couple key section teams at a Wabasso tournament. We get to play Wabasso, and we get to play Southwest Christian, and we're not going to overlook anybody, because there's some really good teams coming up in our conference that we're going to play too. But with the athletes that we have and the way we're playing, we're just really excited to play competitive games.
All right, what do you got next week?
Yeah, so we've got Dawson on Tuesday, and that'll be a doubleheader. They're a North team, and just for people to know, if they haven't seen it on social media, the parents super supportive. They give us great meals after these away games. It's amazing. But they've come up with, they want to do the first annual Lacaparro dugout tailgate party.
Oh, sounds fun.
Yeah. So if people are available, come out and watch some great softball against these, two communities. It's a doubleheader starting on Tuesday, May 2nd at 4:30 out at the Lacaparro Valley Softball Complex. And the meal is, you either get a burger or a brat with a side of steak cubes, beans, and water for $12 a plate, and all the proceeds are going to the dugout club so that we can continue to just do things for these girls and continue to advance the program. So that'll be a pretty great opportunity. And then the girls also tomorrow at the Appleton VFW are doing a fundraising brunch, and it was a great turnout last year. It's from 7:15 to 1:00 tomorrow. If you want to come out, some of the proceeds will come to the dugout club as well for the girls. So the girls have volunteered and will be working.
Okay.
So come on out and see them. So good stuff. Not only are they playing good ball, but they're doing all sorts of work in between. So it's a great, great group of kids and fun to be around every day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott, for the report this morning, and good luck this week. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Paul. And just a quick thank you to all of our home run sponsors, too. I know you list them and I run in commercials, so we thank that. And we want you guys to get out and check out your signs on that first base dugout, too. It looks really sharp.
All right. Real good, Scott. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul.
Turn to Tufty Auto and Sales in Madison for all your collision and glass repair needs, or if you are looking for just the right Harley-Davidson rebuilder. Check out their website at TuftyAuto.com today. Tufty Auto and Sales is ready to meet and exceed your expectations for collision repair and glass replacement. That's Tufty Auto and Sales, East Highway 40, Madison, Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with head coach Austin Ireland of the Dawson Boyd Lacapaw Valley Boys Tennis Team. And good morning, Austin.
Morning.
Hey, you got a couple matches in this week in cool weather, I suppose, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cool weather, but it was actually not too bad, though, compared to what we're used to. We'll take it.
Okay. Well, tell us all about it. How did the tennis team do?
Well, it was pretty good. Tuesday we went to Granite Falls and took on the Yellow Menace East Sting. Jeff Long got a young program up there, down low, but they were pretty still solid up top. We ended up beating them 4-3. YME, they are in the West Central Conference, and they're also a section opponent, so that'll be nice for seeding wise. Should be seated ahead of them. Going over the scores here, Jackson Buehr took on Ryan Searing. That was a kind of a back and forth match. Ryan and Jackson. Ryan's kind of one of those players who a lot of long points, and he ended up beating Jackson 6-3, 6-3. At the number two singles, Gavin Stoltz fell to Carter Kanaski 7-5, 6-1. He had a good first set against Carter, and when you lose a close one there to start that second set, you can kind of get into a slump. So that was another win for YME there. At third singles, Matthew Martinson took on Liam Hadfield. Matt Martinson won 6-2, 6-1. Matt did a great job, keeping his composure, and just took care of business there. His serves were looking really well. His second serves really improved over the course of the season. And then at fourth singles, we had Darren Rails Kranz. He took on Evan Christensen, and Evan Christensen from YME beat Darren 6-0, 6-1. Darren getting in there. He's an eighth grader. Came out late in the season, but he was getting the hang of things, and that's good. He didn't get double bangled this week to call, so we got one off of him on that second set. We ended up sweeping doubles with Gunnar Olsen and Luke Stockley in the way. They ended up going three sets, winning 6-4, lost the second set 6-0, just kind of fell apart, but came back and won 7-5 in that third set. Number two doubles, we had Mitchell Myers and Brody Boston. They took on Devin Ludwig and Matthias Vonderhaar. They ended up winning 6-2, 6-0. They did a real nice job, good job communicating and being aggressive at the net. And then our third doubles team, Thomas Felton and Tony Reap, they took on Lung Young and Cyril Chase Pendleton. Tony and Thomas won the first set 7-5, and that was Thomas' first varsity match, so he really, they were down early in the first set, but, kind of caught on. Thomas got a serve and ended up winning 7-5, 6-2. So that was a 4-3 victory for the bad guys. Black Eagles or Lacaparo, Dawson Boyd, whatever we call ourselves, depending on the day,
Okay.
They seem to like the bad guys mantra, so you gotta stick with that.
Okay, yep.
And then, we went to Wednesday, we took on Montevideo, and that was kind of a rainy, kind of gloomy day. Everyone seemed kind of grumpy. I don't know, the Battle of the Goose Call or the War on 212, whatever you want to call it. Montevideo had the best of us, 7-0. Jackson Buehr took on Tyson Quigley at number one singles. He's played him a few times. I think he's played him 3 or 4 times. He's beaten him just about every other time. So these guys go back and forth. Jackson lost 6-3, 6-0. Gavin Stoltz took on Simon Fitzcapis. Ended up losing that one 6-1, 6-2. Matthew Martinson at third singles took a three-setter. He won the first set 6-4 and then dropped the last two sets 6-2, 6-2. We had Darren again. He was at fourth singles. He took on Nick Kluver. And Nick Kluver won that one 6-0, 6-0. And doubles, Luke Stock and Gunnar Olsen ended up taking Andrew Soder and Taylan Brock, losing that one 6-4, 6-3. Mitchell Myers and Brody Boston, they ended up taking on Carson Hagen and Kyle Kanaski, losing that one 6-1, 6-1. And those guys seem kind of then a little sick. There's some sickness going around, but hopefully they're healed up and ready to go. And then our third double team with Tony Reap and Thomas Felton ended up losing 6-1, 6-0. I have to really improve Monty's team. You know, a big difference between us and them is they were hard in the offseason. You know, all those guys were hitting. You know, they played. I think we might have been more athletic, but those guys put time in the offseason, and it shows. You know, you can't just go out there and just expect to beat everybody. You got to put the time in and really improve, and that's what Montevideo did.
Okay.
So those were our two matches on the week, yeah.
All right. So what do you got coming up this week then, Austin?
Yeah, so Monday we play McRae at McRae. That's another conference and section opponent. Tuesday we play Benson, but that's been rescheduled. That was one of the rescheduled, so we play actually Benson at Clara City at McRae, because Benson's going to play McRae that day as well. Thursday we head to New London Spicer. We take on them. They're also in our conference. They're non-section. And then Friday we have the West Central Conference Tournament.
Wow, that's a busy week, Austin.
Yeah, so I'm. Yeah, it's you know, we got to be busy than bored, but I think we got to work cut out this week, and hopefully we can rest up and just, you know, do what bad guys do, you know.
Yep. Yeah. So you're really into the heart of your schedule, then, huh?
Yeah, you know, and we've had a lot of guys with robotics being gone. You know, it's been you know, who's going to show up and who's going to be there, and you know, I just got to, you know, keep going, working hard at it. You know, who's ever there and just filling in and gelling. And it's tough when you don't get you get a nice day outside and it's like, we can't practice, you got to have a match, you know. And
right.
that's kind of the thing with the conference rules they have. You have to get all your conference matches in before the tournament. And yeah, it's been, I thank you, the athletic directors, the two Tonys, Mr. Smith, Mr. Offit, those guys, naming. I have a tough time with all this, and that's just one sport. They got to deal with five?
Yep. they stay busy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Austin, we got a few minutes here. Talk about your team. Who's surprising you? Who's playing well? You know, just talk about some of the guys for a minute.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I was just talking about second double that kind of stand out to us. They did a great job against YME, Mitchell Myers, and Brody Botham. When they're on their game, they can play really, really well. It's just, you got to kind of stick with that, stick together. You know, Mitchell was out a lot last year with that foot injury. The double team, Luke Stock and Gunnar Olson. You know, Gunnar's been more familiar, you know, with playing doubles. He's played doubles the past couple of years, and Luke was playing four singles. And, you know, putting him at that one double spot, they've really gelled and gone well together. One guy who obviously I'm going to bring up here, Nate Gruhl. He's been out with a fractured foot, but that kid is, he's a senior from Dawson Boyd, and that kid is underrated. You know, he is a great leader, just a great kid. You know, so, you know, whether he's a self-made guy or his parents did well, I really enjoy being around Nate Gruhl. That kid's got a bright, bright future. So whatever he decides to do.
Okay. All right. Well, best of luck this week. And that's every day you're playing, it sounds like.
Every day we're hustling, every day we're playing.
All right, we got to. You probably have to take the whole hour next Saturday for the coaches show.
Hopefully it's all good news, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully it's good news. So, all right, Austin, thank you for the report on the boys' tennis team this morning.
Appreciate it.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd La Caparra Valley boys' tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the coaches show after this.
Back here at the studio, well, we got completed an hour and a half program here, and we're just running out of time here. Last week, I did a couple life hacks, and I wonder if anybody tried the one I talked about. Running your bacon under cold water before cooking it will reduce shrinking up to 50%. Let the radio station know if you've tried that and if it works. And then one more that real quick. To remove a splinter easily, by applying a paste of baking soda and water, then waiting several minutes, and then the splinter will just pop out of the skin. So I'm not saying to go put a sliver in your finger on purpose, but if you should, maybe try that and see if that works, and let the radio station know. Let us know if that should work. Well, thanks for listening to The Coach's Show. Tune in again next Saturday morning, and just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
KLQB, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by...